In our last study, we noticed that the book of Proverbs has a lot to say on the subject of material wealth. We identified sort of three major strands that run through the book's teaching. Proverbs presents material wealth as a blessing that comes through honoring God, through fearing the Lord and becoming wise. But we also noticed that Proverbs presents a fuller perspective in that and acknowledges that there can be aberrations with this. It's very possible that the wicked will be wealthy and also that the wise and the righteous will be poor. But overwhelmingly, the emphasis of the book is that material wealth is a blessing that comes from honoring God. But then we noticed another very important strand in the teaching, which is that wealth is only of relative value. It's not the thing that's of ultimate value. That lies with things that money cannot buy. And then the third strand that we spent some time on is the recurring idea in the book of Proverbs that wealth carries spiritual dangers, both for those who actually possess wealth and for those who would pursue it. So we looked at the book's teaching on the subject of wealth, but the book of Proverbs has just as much to say about the other side of the coin. The state of poverty and the poor as a class of people feature throughout the book of Proverbs. Maybe it says something about us that we are much more interested in what Proverbs has to say about the reward of riches than we are to what it has to say about our responsibilities towards the poor. So I want to, in this session, I want to identify two major themes concerning poverty and the poor. Here's the first one, and sorry, the heading is a bit of a mouthful. Proverbs acknowledges that people can find themselves in poverty that is self-inflicted through foolishness, or that is imposed by others through injustice. I repeat that. Proverbs acknowledges that people can find themselves in poverty that is self-inflicted through foolishness, or that is imposed by others through injustice. And here's the important thing. We are called upon to adopt a very different attitude to each group. One particular character who features throughout the book is the sluggard. He's referred to directly 13 times. He comes to poverty, but it is totally self-inflicted. The only person to blame is himself. And he's a pathetic individual who's lazy through and through, offering a succession of lame excuses for his failure to sustain himself. There's the rather famous section in chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Chapter 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plough in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Now remember, Proverbs is written in an agriculturally dependent context. This individual will not even do the basics to ensure that he has enough to eat. And that's why in Proverbs 21, verse 25, it says, the sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. It's self-imposed misery and poverty. The sluggard fails to maintain what he has inherited, which would provide well for him. Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Notice how that's repeated in the book of Proverbs. And the sluggard's defense is transparently pathetic. Chapter 22, verse 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside, or I'll be murdered in the streets. Chapter 26, verse 13 and 14. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Being a sluggard is one sure path to poverty. But it's not the only one. Proverbs mentioned several others that are self-imposed. You may wish to note the references, but all the following sorts of individuals that I'm about to itemize, they're all destined for poverty, says Proverbs. The person who ignores discipline and correction. Chapter 13, verse 18. He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. Then there's the talker who doesn't do any actual work. 14, verse 23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. There's the overly hasty investor, the get-rich-quick guy. Chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to a profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Then there's the self-indulgent glutton. Chapter 21, verse 17. He who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. Then there's the fantasist. 28, verse 19. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. Now, this is a really important point for understanding what Proverbs teaches about poverty, and the poor. The book of Proverbs never includes the sluggard or these other varieties of fools that I have just mentioned. It never includes them with those who it describes as the poor. The poor are those who, through no fault of their own, find themselves in the situation they do. And they, the poor, are to be responded to very differently from the sluggard and these other fools. You see, poverty can come as the result of injustice and oppression. Chapter 13, verse 23. A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. Proverbs has plenty to say about corruption and exploitation. Let me give you some examples. It warns against sharp practices, such as moving ancient boundary stones to cheat those left fatherless. 23 verse 10. It warns against cheating people out of their food through fraud. 20 verse 17. The book of Proverbs repeatedly denounces false witnesses. For example, chapter 19, verse 28. It condemns dishonest scales. Chapter 11, verse 1. Hidden bribes. 17, verse 23. Corrupt officials. 18, verse 5. Deliberately deceptive speech, 26, verse 24. Brutal rulers, 28, verse 3. You see, the book of Proverbs presents a whole array of reasons why people could find themselves poor. They are not to blame. And unlike the sluggard and co, they are to be treated with compassion and offered assistance. And that brings us to the second area, which is such a strongly repeated theme in Proverbs. Proverbs designates the poor as of special concern to the Lord and his people. And I'll repeat that heading as well. Proverbs designates the poor as of special concern to the Lord and to his people. And this is something we need to hear. Listen to the clarity with which Proverbs speaks on this issue. It actually requires very little comment from myself, but I think we might be surprised by some of what we will hear. And as members of Castlereagh Fellowship, perhaps we could have in the background of our minds this question as we hear what God says in his word. Where does our relief projects fund fit in with what we're about to hear? 3 points. Just brief. Firstly, Proverbs upholds the essential dignity of the poor. 14 verse 31, He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. 17 verse 5. He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. Chapter 22 verse 2. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Proverbs upholds the essential dignity of the poor. Secondly, Proverbs warns those who abuse or neglect the poor that God will respond accordingly. 21 verse 13. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. 22 verse 16. He who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, and he who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty. Chapter 22, verse 22 and 23. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court. For the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Chapter 23, verse 10 and 11. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their defender is strong. He will take up their case against you. Now, should you be listening to those verses and thinking, well, that sounds great, but it's so often not the case. Well, can I recommend that you spend some time thinking about Jesus' story, or was it a parable, of the rich man and Lazarus, told in Luke chapter 16. Now, make no mistake, what took the rich man to hell was his refusal to heed the word of God. He had Moses and the prophets. He had the scriptures. He refused to heed them, and that secured his destiny in hell. But what displayed the rich man's rejection of God's word was his treatment of poor Lazarus lying at the end of the lane day after day. And the rich man's eternal torment in hell, we are told, is directly related to his deliberate refusal to help the poor beggar. You're now receiving what you've earned. You see, treatment of the poor matters to God. And it matters to him eternally. Thirdly, Proverbs teaches that those who bless the poor will be blessed by God. Remarkable proverb, chapter 19, verse 17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Chapter 22, verse 9. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. Chapter 29, verse 14. If a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will always be secure. As we conclude our study on Proverbs' teaching concerning the poor, let's listen to wisdom's instruction to, and indeed description of, God's people. Chapter 29, verse 7. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. This is the instruction that King Lemuel received from his mother. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Chapter 31, verse 20. This is the epilogue, the description of the living presence of wisdom in the virtuous wife. How is she described? Beautiful description. 31, verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Proverbs teaches that fearing the Lord grants wisdom, and wisdom reveals itself in different ways in our lives. And at the very center of this will be our protection of the weak and our provision for the poor. Castlereagh Fellowship's Relief Project Fund is one mechanism to help us fulfill wisdom's obligations. Proverbs 11, verse 25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Or, if you prefer, its New Testament equivalent, which is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, spoken in the context of sacrificial giving. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Amen.